You're listening to the Now and Then Show. Eric Gessner with you. Right now, I want to take time to introduce my next guest. He's part of a band with Jennifer Young on bass and Dale Moon on drums. Of course, his name is on the nameplate. His name is Travis Larson, Axeman extraordinaire. Travis, it's so good to have you back on the Now and Then Show. How are you, buddy?
Oh, good evening, sir. I am very, very happy to be here, and I appreciate you inviting me back. Thanks for letting me on the show, and those other guys would be here, but they actually have stuff to do with their lives, so.
That's okay, man. So, yeah, it's great to have you back. I had such a great time with you last time, and now you've got a new live album and DVD out, so we can talk about that. It's called Shift Happens, live in Mexicali, and I have to make sure I pronounce Shift Happens because, you know, I'd have to use a dump button on myself.
Isn't that fun?
It is fun, yeah. I've got to think about that one. Yeah, you guys are, like, messing up us radio people, I'm telling you.
Right. Well, the studio record was called Shift, so it just seemed like a logical extension of that. But we did indeed record and film that show in Mexicali, Mexico, towards the end of that tour, at least the headlining version of that tour. And then we spent this last summer out on the road with the Aristocrats, so we weren't planning to do that, but we ended up continuing the tour into the rest of this year because they were nice enough to invite us out, and how could we say no to that? So,
yeah, that's great. So why Mexicali, Mexico? What made you decide to record and you know, film it there, I guess?
Well, it's an interesting question, and I can only say that it's because the people there are so enthusiastic about music, and they're so excited to have musicians coming and playing for them. You know, not that there aren't places like that in America, but there's just some special energy when you cross over the border. And, you know, I think there's just culturally a real appreciation for arts when you head south, and you know, and there's many places like that, like I say, but it was a real special audience to play for the first time we went there, and so we knew we wanted to go back, and when we did, we thought, you know, we should go ahead and film and record this show just to see if we could do anything with it, and it came out great. It turned into a really nice kind of special keepsake from that album's live touring and the shows that we were doing that time. So,
did you use local people to film it and record it, or did you bring your own crew with you?
Well, interesting question, and that makes for an interesting adventure trying to get this whole recording done. But we brought our sound engineer who multi-tracked the audio. But we did actually hire a Mexican camera crew, which was an adventure just trying to find them. The promoter from Mexicali Prague was really, really helpful in finding some good people. And then we took down a handful of our own cameras. So we had kind of a combination of people shooting and then some stationary cameras. And everything's digital now, so it was... The most convenient way to do it was we took down all our own memory cards that would fit all the cameras, and somehow we were miraculously able to find out what kind of cameras and what kind of memory cards they were going to have, and because there is a language barrier, especially for me, you know, I'm learning to speak Spanish, but I don't speak Spanish, you know.
¿Qué pasa?
So we took the memory cards down. We used all those in the cameras, and then at the end of the night, we were able to just pile those into our hands and take them away, and you know, that was the easiest way to deal with it. And then I spent the next 6 months, which was the early half of 2015, you know, working in the studio, mixing and editing this video and producing the product that you see now. So
that's great. Travis Larson, my guest tonight. Let's play one off of Shift Happens. In fact, let's do the title track for you, Shift. We'll be back with Travis Larson right here on the Now and Then Show. This is a new one from the album Shift Happens, live in Mexicali. And here's the title track for you on KMEZ.
Travis Larson Band.
Yeah.
Travis Larson Band, KMUZ, Now and Then Show. We're talking to Travis right now on the phone tonight. Travis, where are you from anyway? Where's home for you?
Home is Central Coast of California, San Luis Obispo, to be precise, or San Luis Obispo County.
Sure.
I was actually born in Southern California, but I my parents, best thing they ever did for me was move me out of the city.
Where in Southern California?
I was actually born in Burbank, beautiful downtown Burbank, as they used to say on the Johnny Carson show.
Yeah, beautiful downtown Burbank. That's right. Yeah, Mr. Carson. R.I.P., man.
If anybody's ever been to Burbank, they know that that's sarcasm.
Pretty much. Yeah. 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 So we're talking to Travis Larson tonight. You know, I've got to compliment the artwork on this DVD CD cover, you know, for those playing along at home here. It's got a guy sitting in a chair. It looks like the middle of the desert in a suit, with a gas mask on, an umbrella, a briefcase, and I'm not sure what that is next to the briefcase. You can explain that. And he's looking at a TV that's kind of warped and cracked on a – it's pretty cool. It's like the old hypnosis thing. So who did the cover art for you on this one? You guys hit a home run, man. It's great. One of my top covers of the year.
First of all, it's a bottle of tequila, of course, because we're in Mexicali. That's what's next to the briefcase.
Ah.
The artwork on our last several records, and she's always been involved with it, but has actually been Jennifer Young. She's basically the art director for the band. You know, if you look on all the albums, it always says produced by Travis Larson and Jennifer Young. And she, her big, one of her big inputs, aside from obviously the music, is all the artistic direction and imagery that we use. So, you can blame her for that whole concept, and yes, I agree, it's really cool, and it it is a cool cover. And the character on the cover actually goes back to the Shift album, the studio album, where he was basically a guy sitting at a desk with all these Shift metaphors, but not, you know, we didn't go the standard issue gear Shift. He was actually working a Shift. And there was a climate shift, and there's a Shift key on a typewriter that he was typing on while he's sitting at his desk. So there's all these Shift metaphors, and then we took that same character and used him on the live package as well. But that's where that came from. And, yes, he's got a bottle of tequila next to him.
So speaking of tequila, you guys were down there for a few days, I'm sure. Do you have any tequila-filled stories at all, anything you could share on the radio or at least tell me off the air?
Well,
there's got to be
something. Have any specific tequila stories. The band would have to talk to you about that because I'm the sober guy in the band. But I do have a story about the last tour that kind of relates to the title of the album, which really just kind of went on through the entire tour. But since we did this last tour with the Aristocrats over the summer, we were out for 8 weeks. We did something like 45 shows in 50 days or something along those lines. And you know, our end of it was called the Shift Happens Tour because we were touring on this DVD that came out. And when we got into the touring vehicle that we use, which is, you know, basically a large cargo van that we've been touring on for a while, there was a problem with the shifter, oddly enough, where the shifter cable that changes the gears had gotten old and stretched out, and it was getting harder and harder to get into gear. Now, keep in mind, this is the beginning of an 8-week tour. So we never had a day off, and if we did, they were travel days that were, you know, an 8-hour drive or more, which is why we would not be able to play a show that day. So I'm, you know, riding and driving in this thing for 8 weeks, and it's getting harder and harder to get it into park, harder to get it into reverse. The shifter is getting worse and worse and stretching out this cable as we go. So we get to our, you know, maybe third or fourth last show in Mexicali, Mexico, and it's 111 degrees. And this cable, because it's so hot, is like a rubber band. You really can't shift this vehicle. You have to just jam it into gear a few times to see if you can get it into drive to roll forward. So we get through Mexico, which is, you know, always a little bit stressful getting over the border and dealing with all that, and we're in a vehicle that's not running properly. We get to our show in San Diego, and we're pulling it into an underground garage to play this theater at the San Diego University, and there's a loading dock under this for big trucks. And so I go to throw this van into reverse right in front of the loading dock, and I literally pull the handle for the shifter off in my hand because I've been jamming it for 8 weeks, right?
Nice.
So Brian Beller from the Aristocrats is, you know, he's just pulled up right in front of me. We're like looking across this little parking area at each other. He looks at me. I pull this thing off in my hand. His eyes get wide, and everybody in the van with me, because we were each traveling in these van tour vans, and we each had five people. There was each of our bands and then two crew guys per tour van. My tour van just busted up laughing, just like dying with tears rolling down our eyes, because I'd been struggling with this thing for 8 weeks, and all of a sudden I just pulled the shifter right off. So shift indeed does happen, and we got through the tour, but we barely got through the tour.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Now, speaking of tours, you've got a nice run of dates here in California with our good buddy Dave LaRue. I'll be talking to him in a couple of weeks. Why don't you talk about that here real quick?
Yeah, and I heard you were playing a little Flying Colors before I was on. That's cool.
Of course, I play Flying Colors all the time, dude. So, and I play your stuff too.
Was that a live version, by the way?
That was a live version off the new one, 7Z, the Second Flight live album that just came out.
Right on. We give a little plug to Dave and one of his projects.
Yeah, he's actually going to be on the show here in a couple of weeks. I've already confirmed that with him, and he's going to come on and talk, and he'll talk about the tour coming up with you guys. And yeah, and he talked a little bit about playing with Jennifer. They do a little bass jam together. That was really cool. He talked about that and how fun that was.
It's very off the cuff that we've done a few I don't even want to call them tours. It's been just like a little selection of dates down near Florida with Dave over the years. And I've known Dave for years and years. But in the last, say, 4 or 5 years, we've done a few times where we've gone out with our bands and his solo trio, which, you know, plays a mishmash of material off his solo records and some of their, you know, favorite, most insane, complicated covers. So, you know, just ridiculous stuff that it's really an opportunity for them to stretch their musical muscles and just stay in shape, I think. But it's a great band. And so the deal is we've just gone out and done these shows together. And at some point, you know, the inevitable jam happens. And Jennifer and Dave have always gotten up on stage. They say there's no guitar players allowed, so me and Dave's guitar player always have to sit it out. And they usually get up and do some kind of a Stanley Clarke thing or something like that. So, you know, hopefully something like that will happen on this tour if we have enough gear on stage to make it happen, because they're real small venues.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to play with Dave. He's one of my favorite musicians and favorite people. And the way it came about is we had put together this little run in January, which is just our traditional Travis Larson band run of California, which we do usually to just kind of get in shape for whatever we're going to be doing at the NAMM show, which is, you know, so in case people don't know, it's the National Association of Music Merchants. It's a convention in Anaheim, California, where every music gear manufacturer shows their stuff and brings all their endorsers, and musicians like us go down and usually perform for those companies and maybe have, you know, signings throughout the day at their booths at the convention center. And it's just a nice big get-together of musicians. But on the business side, it's these companies showing off their new products. So we all end up going there every year. And Dave and us and Steve Morris usually end up at the Ernie Ball Music Man events and booths every year, as well as, you know, many of our other endorsers. So I booked this little run in California, and Dave, you know, and I had talked about trying to do something, and then we just kind of spur of the moment decided we were going to do this time and make it happen. So had we actually put any real thought into it, we'd probably be playing some bigger venues. So if you're planning on going, you know, make sure you're getting there early, because these are real small venues, and they're probably, you know, more close to like 100 to 150 capacity for most of them. We're playing a couple places that hold like maybe 300 people, but for the most part, these are real small clubs, real small, like a baked potato type vibe.
Yeah, it looks like your tour starts on the 14th of January, and you're in Hayward, and you finish up January 19th in your hometown, San Luis Obispo, and then you're at the NAMM show the 21st to the 24th, so that sounds like a pretty good week.
Yeah, it's always weird for us, too, because we always take the holidays off, and then all of a sudden, January, you're right back on So we always have to kind of get our chops back up. And it kind of rotates every other year. It's not necessarily on purpose, but it seems to work out that, you know, we're working on new material. So, you know, this year we're going to have to put that aside and kind of rehearse and get our chops back up and get the show back up and running for that little run. But it'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be a nice break from studio stuff, because honestly, we're a live band, and as much as we like making records, that gets a little trying when we do it, because we tend to set aside a chunk of time and really do it and work on a record, you know, for 6-8 months, as opposed to kind of riding in and out of doing live shows. When we're out doing live shows, we're out doing live shows, and we're making a record, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're talking with Travis Larson tonight. We're going to do another track from the new live album called Shift Happens, live in Mexicali. How about Bright Eyes? What can you say about this song here, Travis, the song Bright Eyes?
Well, it's an interesting one to choose, talking about Dave LaRue, because Bright Eyes has obvious Steve Morris Band influences, or Dixie Dregs influences. It's got, you know, kind of... Well, people who listen to those bands will recognize, but there's a bit of a Celtic quality maybe to some of the choruses, if I guess for lack of a better description.
All right, let's play it. Here's Bright Eyes, Travis Larson Band. We'll be back in just a moment. Check out this one on KMUZ. So nice. Travis Larson Band and Bright Eyes right here on KMUZ. Nice little guitar work at the end there. All right, we're talking with Travis Larson tonight, all the way from San Luis Obispo tonight. What are you doing on your off time, Travis, when you're not writing and getting things ready for the next tour and booking? What is it you do for fun to just step away from the guitar a little bit? Anything you do?
Well, I think you just described the off time. It's getting ready for the next tour and booking. But but no, I do get out, and I do a lot of mountain biking because I try and stay in shape. So I guess that would be the one thing that I do that's not music related. Dale, our drummer, and I actually have that in common. We're pretty avid bikers, although we never seem to get a chance to go biking together. Because our schedules are so different, but I guess that's what I do. I don't really have hobbies, so to speak, because this is the hobby. I mean, when you do this kind of music and you do it for a living, especially with the state of the music business, which, if I remember right, we talked quite a bit about last time. But
right.
you kind of have to keep working and keep hustling and stay on top of things. So, I'm a bit of a driven workaholic, I guess, in order to keep this thing rolling.
Do you think the music business has changed a little bit? Has the needle been moving in the other direction now, maybe ever so slightly? Have you thought about that at all?
Well, there's good and bad. And people go on about this, all the time. But I will say that if we were in another time, I'm not sure that, depending on when that time was, I'm not sure that I would be where I am, and I mean that in a good way. But I also know that if I was, it's getting harder and harder to make any kind of money doing this based on how music is sold digitally and streaming and all that stuff. And basically, it's getting harder and harder to be able to sell product, physical product, and make any money at it. So it's changing for bands like us, where the focus is really almost becoming live, or you have to put out something that, like a DVD and a live album like we just did, where we did a live album / DVD package, because you hopefully, you can't stream the DVD for free on the internet. So, and if you can, somebody shouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? So, I don't know if that answers your question, but you have to be, creative in how you're making a living in music these days. And it is harder and harder to make a living with record sales, traditionally speaking. And I think you do have to get out and you have to play live, and you have to be, that's one of the ways that a band like us can separate ourselves from the bands that are 100% studio driven, because you know you can do so much in the studio now that isn't real, so to speak. But if you go out and you play live, you can't fake that, you know. And people still like to get in front of people and watch them do something, hopefully that's interesting. You know, we had the biggest tour of our careers this last summer with the Aristocrats, who's a very new band as well, and we're both playing instrumental fusion. And you know, I've been doing this a long time, and every year things get better. But we just did a tour where, you know, many of these venues were sold out, and we were playing large clubs and theaters, and we played all of North America, 4 gigs in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, and it was really, really great. But again, a live performance, you know, that's really how musicians, I think, have to get out there and make a living and prove their worth nowadays.
Do you move a lot of product when you're out there on the road playing live? Once people see you, do they line up for T-shirts and DVDs and things like that?
They do, you know, and that's, God bless them, because they're the ones allowing us to get out there and keep creating music and playing for people. And we as a band have always made ourselves extremely accessible for people. You know, if we can, and you know, it's not going to create too much of a problem depending on the gig, we like to go out and hang out after the show, and we usually hang out until nobody wants to hang out with us anymore or they are kicking us out of the venue. We are very very appreciative of the people that come to see us, and I always say, you know, we're not making fans, we're making friends, and it's a special energy with people that come out and support these kinds of bands, because they're a little more thoughtful of a listener, I think, and, you know, people that may be a little more like an audiophile or maybe musicians themselves, and so it's a different kind of vibe, I think, than if you're playing in, you know, maybe like a party band or a dance band or something like that.
Yeah, that's great. That's an interesting answer there, but great. So, you know, one of the things that I think that's really cool, and I want you to forward my information to the Aristocrats. I'd like to get them some airplay here and maybe get them on the air down the road. But, you know, Points North has done a great job with their new album, you know, Instrumental Rock, right? One song's got a little bit of vocals on it, but by and large, it's an instrumental album. And, you know, folks are getting heard out there, you know. They're out there, and they're getting new fans every day, and people do, they do look at the Facebooks, the bands answer back to their fans and say hello. I got a like from Steve Morris the other day, which was cool.
Nice.
It's something I which, you know, he's been on the show before, but that was cool. I thanked him for you know, being on my show, and I mentioned something about the new Flying Colors, and he gave me a like back, so that was pretty cool. So
yeah, honestly, guys like Steve and you know, obviously guys like me completely appreciate the fact that you are supporting this, because commercially there is no support for what we're doing. So when you find guys like you that are out there and they're playing music because they love it and they're doing shows like this that are not driven by some entity behind the scenes, you know, it means something to us too. I just want you to know we really appreciate the support, and we appreciate guys like you pushing the music. So
I tell you what, Steve Morse said almost the exact same thing when he was on. He said, you know, listen, it's really, you know, cool that you're doing this and getting music out there that folks aren't hearing. It's I really respect that. That was high praise from that guy, you know.
Well, he's one of the most down-to-earth guys there is, and I really, you know, he's really one of my main mentors with having the guts to try and do this and how to do it and how to be, you know, a conscientious person and guitar player and musician and, you know, because you can't really do this if you're not, and if you don't really be kind of crafty and careful about how you do it. Otherwise, you're going to end up bankrupt and not getting anywhere. And Steve is, you know, he's the blueprint for that, really. I mean, I know he's been playing with Deep Purple for a long time, and you know, he's doing well with that. But he has slept on floors and toured, you know, for years, just like the rest of us doing this music when he was with the Dixie Dregs and Steve Morse Band. And he knows what it is, so he hasn't forgotten that. And he still goes out and he plays music he loves and plays for free sometimes just because of the love of it. And if you don't do that occasionally, then you should probably do something else, because you have to remember why we're all here. And we're here because we love the art of music, and we love how, you know, what it does for the world. And if you're solely doing it because you want to try and make money at it, then you definitely should be doing something else.
Right, I agree with you there. So what do you say we do another song off of Shift Happens here? I'm going to let you pick the next one.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, one that was real popular on the road, which is, I keep calling it our dark superhero theme, but it's a tune that starts out with this kind of scary acoustic chord and then turns into this kind of weird fusion funk thing. But it's track number 10. And it's called The Watchman. And The Watchman is kind of the vibe I was thinking when we wrote that song was, there's a movie with Bruce Willis called Unbreakable. Have you ever seen this movie?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, he's kind of like this superhero character, but he doesn't have a costume, and he's just a regular guy that's kind of lurking, you know, behind the scenes in the dark, making sure that the bad guys are in check. So this movie kind of made us think of that vibe, or this song, I should say, rather, not movie. So this is The Watchman.
All right, The Watchman, here we go. Travis Larson Band, Travis Larson, my guest. You are listening to The Now and Then Show. That's Travis Larson and the Travis Larson Band right here. Watchmen on KMUZ. Hey, Travis, you use a lot of guitar effects and pedals, don't you? You're a gearhead, aren't you?
Well, out of necessity. You know, it's like, it's not a natural thing, but, you know, I also grew up on bands like Rush, and I started out as a keyboard player, so in order to try and facilitate that all live, we've kind of gotten into gear, and over the years, technology has gotten smaller, which is good because that saves us money in cartage and things like that. But we're able to use loopers and samplers and things like that live to help fill in the sound as a trio. It's funny because listening to that song, I was actually going to comment when it was done that it's funny for me to hear how bare bones this stuff sounds, because I'm used to hearing the album and I haven't heard the live versions in a little while, you know, so...
Yeah, it's different over the phone, isn't it?
I like anything that's going to help fill up the sound of the trio, because you know, trios can be tricky on how to keep them interesting, especially with an instrumental band.
All right. So do you think we'll see you in Portland here in 2016?
I think so, yeah. There's no solid plans right now, but we're talking about next summer. It kind of depends on how things go with working on new material and that sort of thing. You know, we have this one more little tour run here on Shift, and Shift Happens, and then we'll see where we go from there. But I think you could probably count on seeing us by mid to late summer, hopefully.
Nice. So how do we get a hold of you and check out your tour dates and your merchandise and music and all that?
Well, TravisLarsonBand.com, LARSON is the spelling. So TravisLarsonBand.com is the main place to go. And then, of course, we have a Travis Larson Band Facebook and a Twitter and all the social media that you can handle. I'm so sick of social media.
Are you? It serves a purpose, you know. It's hard to, you know, they want money for some of it to promote your webpage, you know, your Facebook page, which kind of sucks, you know.
Yeah, I should clarify, you know, I love the interaction with the people, but I hate the fact that you get used to an entity and how it works, and then they change it all on you, or they try and upgrade it, and it ends up making something specific more difficult for you or whatever. But I do like the fact that I'm able to keep in touch with people, and people are able to keep in touch with me. In fact, that's how you invited me to the show, is you sent me a Facebook message, as I recall.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, so one more question for you. Are you guys going to have any Christmas tunes out at all?
Christmas tunes?
Yeah.
You know, I think that between, you know, Steve Vai's label putting out the Mary Axemas CDs and Gary Hoey, they've cornered the market on the guitar instrumental Christmas tunes. So unless something really special were to happen, I'm not sure that you'd ever hear us doing something like that.
It's always good to have one, though, because every year it gets played.
Well,
and it's out
there. That's true. And if there were any royalties to actually worry about, I might take that into consideration. But
yeah, this is true. Yeah, good point. Yeah. But I know Steve Morse has a new one coming out. He told me when I interviewed him, so I haven't heard it yet.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I heard. And I can't wait to hear it.
Wow, I'll be interested to hear that, too. Is it an actual, did he say it's an album or just like a single?
I think it's a tune on an album somewhere. I'm going to send him an email here this week and see what he says about it and see if it's available yet. But that'd be great.
I'll have to do the same.
Yeah, well, you know, this is something else that most people don't know, and I got it out of him in an interview. Did you know, he lives in Central Florida. Did you know he grows hay and sells it to his neighbors?
I do know that.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, maybe okay, maybe you know that because you know him better than me. But that, most people don't know that.
Yeah, Steve is. Steve also tends to get into so much of the farming aspect that he's got to be careful out there because us musicians have to be careful of our hands. And as you know, Steve is a national treasure, so he better be careful on that farm. That's all I'm saying, Steve.
Yeah, he fixes his own farm implements and the whole his tractor and all that. He likes getting dirty. So isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I thought that was just a great story.
Yeah, it's he knows how to work. That was what I was saying about him earlier. Is he's a guy that isn't afraid to get his hands dirty, and he's not afraid to work for a living. And you got to be that way if you're going to try and play, non-commercial music or any kind of music these days.
Exactly. My guest tonight, Travis Larson. Travis, we're going to do one more here and say goodbye. Thank you so much for being on the show again. I just want to remind everybody out there, you're listening to KMUZ Turner. In just a few minutes, I've got a nice interview with Magnus Carlson. How about that? He's coming on in a few minutes here that I recorded via Skype here a couple of weeks ago. And he's just a fantastic guitar player. And I don't think a lot of Americans have heard of him before, but he's the man.
Wow. Well, I'll have to check it out.
Okay. So, Travis, thank you so much for being on the show. We'll look forward to you
doing a show like this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're going to do one more song, so I'm going to let you pick out the last one here. I always like...
Let's do track 6. It's a song called Above Below, which is kind of a real fusion-y tune.
Okay, as I'm queuing it up right now, Above and Below. Okay, Travis Larson, thank you so much. We'll catch you on down the road. Please give my regards to Jennifer and Dale.
I will do that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. There he goes, Travis Larson, right here on the Now and Then show. Let's do a new one here off the album Live Shift. Well, actually, Shift Happens. This one is called Above Below.